One.
Yeah.
One.
Hello.
Hello, everybody.
Ooh.
Oh, no. Oh, that's my laptop. Sorry.
Glitch. There's a glitch in the matrix. Hello, everybody, and welcome. Of course, you can see this week on Aftermath, Veronica's joining me. So you're going to join me for the pay-per-views, right?
Yes.
The numbered events.
The numbered events.
Wonderful. Sharing your
so
expertise.
So I can gloat.
So you can, yeah, you smashed on the picks again, didn't you?
Yeah, pretty much.
What was I? What was I, 2 and 3? I think I was 2 and 3. Did I go Kopilov, Dvalishvili, Gary? I think I went Costa, didn't I? And
you
Volkanovski.
Did go Costa.
Yeah, just nowhere on the main and co-main. Although, what I would say is if I could have switched my pick in the first round of the main event, I would have done. Like, straight away, we were both watching going,
yeah,
what is he doing? Why is he pulling
he
out a range like that?
He was making me so nervous every time he just went back. And he does do that. I've seen him do that in other fights.
Yeah.
But
it was just too risky against Topuria, who's got a cannon of a
when he commits to his shot, when he's not throwing it and halfway out, like going back,
yeah,
so far back, I feel like it was
wrestle more. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
yeah. So, well, why are you joining us? We'll chat about some of the other fights on the card. First of all, shout out to Oben Elliott, made his proper UFC debut.
Yeah.
A really talented fighter. We watched him come through Cage Warriors and, you know, really excited to see him on the big stage. That was a very impressive performance. What do you think to the first fight of the night, Maverick against Andrea Lee?
I thought that was a good fight.
Yeah.
I thought Maverick did a really good job at mixing in the strikes. Like, you could see they're both really physically strong fighters. But, like, you saw that in the way Andrea Lee did a suplex on her.
That was beautiful.
I just felt like that was like a, I don't know, like somebody just did that to you.
if one of them was going to do a suplex, I would have thought it would have been Maverick, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but Andrea Lee, I would know, has some really sick takedowns. Like, she's really good at utilizing your momentum.
Yeah, that head and arm throw she did, that was
sick.
Lovely timing.
That was, and in the beginning when Maverick kind of was trying to go for a rear naked choke and she was circling her hips and then got that takedown, you know, like the sit through thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was really nice. Like, you saw that when it became a sort of like a grappling exchange, that Andrea Lee, you saw how good she was in those attacks. Like, she's really flexible and good at, you know, she almost had that triangle at the end. And if she would have had it a bit sooner, you know, in the first round or something, maybe she could have gotten it finished. But it's just really difficult, unless you're Paul Craig, of course, to get it with, like, so little time remaining.
She just didn't seem to get started. You know what I mean? Like, she seemed to be waiting the whole time. Like, even they talked about it, the commentary team, they were like, they were talking about what the corner team was saying. There was like no technical information between the second and third. It was all like, you've got to do something. You've got to go and get it. Interesting fight. Someone's asked if we're live. Yes, green bandana. That is confirmation. We are live. Although Jamie doesn't have a mic this time around, so if you have a question, Jamie's going to have to just yell it into the room, because obviously we could probably get another mic sorted out, couldn't we, really? I mean, we've got a few in the house. Okay, definitely not Ariel Helwani. Definitely not. Just says, what's up, V?
Oh,
just ignores
that?
Me.
Well, because...
No, fine. No, it's,
well, I don't
it's
know.
Fine. It's fine. No, it's fine. Okay.
Focus.
All
right. Oben Elliott's grappling looked great.
Yes, it did. As you would expect from someone trained by Richard Shaw. Very, very good fight.
Vaughn had me worried, though. He had some power in his hands.
He did. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, but...
And he had red in his hair as well, which is always, you know... Often I would be gravitating towards someone that's got red in their hair, but because he was fighting Oben, I was pulling for the Welsh gangster. And did you see he got to meet the American gangster, the Chael Sonnen photo?
Did you see on the Ariel show how it was like, how you introduced that, you know, Chael was going to be there and stuff? And it was just Oben's reaction. Man, you just feel for the guy. Like, he's just a genuinely really good, nice person.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
That you just want the best for.
I feel like, I think I'll be working with Chael next week.
Oh, really?
Which will be fun.
Oh, that's cool.
Champs v. Champs card coming up. Okay.
Then we had Danny Barlow.
Okay, look, listen. The hair thing.
That, okay.
I'm no one to comment about haircuts because, like, I've had all kinds of manner of things and, you know, I just kind of do what I like. However, that little, it looked like a rat was driving his head from the inside, but it just not found enough space to pull its tail into the head cavity. Do you know what I mean? It was just, I can't understand what that is. You're like, oh yeah, no, that's a sharp haircut. Oh, they missed a bit quite consistently. Like, but it's like, I don't get it. I find myself almost entirely distracted the whole fight because of that. Like Quinlan was just not moving his head. He was moving his feet well, but he was just not moving his head at all. And Barlow, although, you know, it took him a minute to get going. He was very, very quick off the mark. You know, big for a welterweight as well.
I just don't like how he just kept spasming flying knees.
Spasming? spamming, I think you meant to. Yeah, he was.
Like you know when you spaz out of a... Like your muscles start spazzing out.
Spasm, okay. Spasming. Yeah, no.
It works, it's a word. You say it with confidence.
I'm sure someone on the live stream knew exactly what you were talking
but
about.
But it's true. He just kept throwing like a random flying knee.
They did comment on it in the comms as well. They're like, it was like 7 or 8 he threw or something. It just didn't make sense why he was
It's not the technique. It's not the fact that it was a flying knee that it's like, oh, you know, like a spin attack. It's something. But when you just throw it.
Yeah.
And it's not calculated. It's just awkward because then either the person is what am I talking to?
Sorry, no, I'm just angling it so it's pointing towards you.
Yeah, so either the person is like rushing in onto you, and then you get the knee, or you're like squaring them and tying them off, and then you get the knee that way when you tempt them to level change. But if you, I didn't like to see it.
No, you didn't like it. Didn't like it. Ming Yang was good. He was a lot of fun to watch. The guy with the big calves.
Yes.
He was. He that was a beautiful. Because he kind of. It looked like. I need to watch it back, obviously, because we've only watched it through once, haven't we? But it looked like there was something caught him in the eye, whether it was the edge of a glove or a thumb or something. And he kind of backed up for a minute and was like, ah, hang on, whoa.
Yeah, he went like that to
and
the
Beltram
ref as well.
Was like, carry on. Fights, and he was like, okay, let's go. Wah, bam. Split the right hand, came back with the left. So it was a beautiful knockout.
And I think Rivero kind of took advantage of that because he saw, obviously, you see that if we see it, he sees it, that he's a bit like asking for time. So he's like, yeah, I'm going to rush you and I'm going to take advantage because he said not to stop it.
Yeah, a bit too enthusiastic. I will say the Nakamura fight was interesting to watch. I don't like Carlos Vieira's style. I don't like that. And Joe and Rogan talked about it on the commentary. It's not or was it Bisping? Not a complete style for MMA these days, especially when his shoulder was like. And
that must have been before the fight, though. You don't casually tell your corner my shoulder's out if it's not happened during training camp.
But then, even if that is the case, why is the first thing that you corner team, your cornerman goes to is what you need to do is throw a double spinning attack? Like that was like he was like spinning attack to the head. You need a home run finish. In fact, double spinning attack. I'm like,
maybe he can only spin off one leg.
Still, like, look, if one shoulder's no good, you've still got one arm you can jab with, right? You can switch your stance. You can still cross with it. Right, you still got two legs. You still kick. You don't have to go.
Let's be honest. He was not set up.
No, he was bad. He was terrible.
No, he wasn't terrible.
No, he was.
He wasn't.
Come on.
It was a good fight.
It was good because Nakamura was able to stay out the submissions.
Yeah,
and
that was sick.
That was good. But I would rather is to see, someone that's more well rounded take on Nakamura because that was just like a. I don't know. It just kind of
took this fight on what, like short notice with one arm.
Why did he take it on short notice with one arm?
Maybe because he got signed to the UFC. I don't know. I didn't research these fights before. Because he was in the Ultimate. Oh yeah, he was in the Ultimate Fighter, and he fought Brad Katona, and he lost that fight. Right, and then Marcos had visa issues, and then he had some other fight.
It still doesn't change the fact that you go from, hang on, you're down to one arm. We need to double up spinning head kicks. That's still a leap that makes no sense from someone who I'm told constantly about Ryan Hall is a very, very intelligent person. Like, that for me is coming at martial MMA like backwards with your eyes closed. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Like, that just, like, that is the absolute desperation. Like,
yeah,
last 30
is.
Seconds, last, but like, give him, he's got 5 minutes. Like, give him something that he can use over 5 minutes instead of him trying to
spam.
Did
you see the other guy that was like an elite wrestler? Like, what do you do?
He was good. I liked his style. And plus, he trained with Imanari, so he had good leg lock defense. And I don't like that squirrely, like, it's like.
I understand. You know? I understand. Like, 9 times out of 10, you get your face smashed in.
Yeah.
I've been in the situation where I went for something like that and I got my face smashed in. It's not that I don't understand. I just...
Like, the Topuria Ryan Hall fight should be an example. You know what I mean? For everyone coming into MMA classes, like, you want to be a squirrel jiu-jitsu guy in mixed martial arts. Watch this fight. You know what I mean? Because it's like... although it's cool and it's niche and it's a bit hipster in the way that, oh, well, watch how he tangles people up. But what if he doesn't? He gets smashed. And this guy...
Especially
had...
against a better athlete.
Exactly. Like, even if this guy's game is ankle locks and leg attacks, etc., etc., your go-to, if you've got one arm on the feet, can't be a spinning head kick. That can't be good advice from anybody. That makes no sense whatsoever. Like Chris Weidman against Luke Rockhold, beat him for 2 rounds, spinning head kick, and look where he was.
Yeah.
Although one thing I will say is Paulo Costa's throwing this out the water, because that first round,
right,
the spinning head kick, that was beautifully timed.
Okay,
but I don't know. It just annoyed me that fight did.
I would just say one small thing, completely related, but during the fight, right, we saw some extremely high level grappling, defense and offense, the way that, you know, swiveling in the hips, attacking from one thing to the next, going under in one direction, under the other. And the commentating was kind of like, yeah, this is some like high level stuff, guys.
Yeah.
It's just like, and then they just went talking about something else.
But I can't, that's the thing as well.
But then,
like,
when Mackenzie Dern's on top, ain't nobody got a problem.
And the thing is as well, like, Mackenzie Dern from the bottom position landed that beautiful sweep in the set with its second round.
Yeah.
Like, super simple, basic jiu-jitsu sweep. If the guy's that good at jiu-jitsu, at least keep getting yourself into top position.
Yeah,
I just don't like that style of, it's like a submissive, oh, I might catch you if you make a mistake style of jiu-jitsu. It doesn't matter what weight class you're in, it looks weak across the spectrum.
Yeah.
I just don't like it. It's just, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. I'm like a trapped spider, trapdoor spider kind of, you know what I mean?
Trapdoor spider.
Yeah, they exist. You know, you got to walk past a little funnel at the start of their thing and they pull you in. Scary things, but not like way more scary than Ryan Hall or his mate, whatever his name was, Vera.
All right, next fight.
Okay, yeah. So, this was a frustrating fight, because straight away Taffer just was like, he took a couple of kicks and he just had very little mobility. But it was at the same time as his leg getting damaged, his confidence was damaged, right? And then you follow that on. In the next fight with Mackenzie Dern, whose leg was battered, and she was like, "Let's go,
dude." She almost got like, "Oh, I don't know what injury she sustained," but I was watching it and I was just
swelling.
Like,
was
man,
it was mad, wasn't it?
It was incredible, and this is something that kind of annoys me, because sometimes, especially towards like pretty female fighters, they don't get the respect they deserve. Like, Paige VanZant went on and fought with, like, a broken arm.
For sure.
You know, like, Mackenzie, to overcome that, Junior Taffa laid down and decided he gave up already.
Yeah.
Off a calf kick.
Yeah, yeah.
Man.
And Mackenzie Dern was like...
She can, you know, she can post whatever she wants. Yeah. All out. Anybody could do... You can't hate on just...
I should read that Adam Hunter joke that I just read to you. While we're on the subject of Mackenzie Dern.
Johnny Dunn is a comet that is waiting for approval.
A what?
A comet. Yeah, what's up with Durns are so distracted.
Are you approving it then? You can't read it and not approve it. At least now you guys know who's approving your comments or not. Hang on. Here we go. This was a good joke. I like this. This is Adam Comedian. Go and give him a follow on Instagram. He's very, very funny. I've seen him live a bunch of times. He was actually my wrestling buddy and kind of like coached me quite a lot back in the day. And I had no idea he was a comedian until he won like the America's Next Greatest Comedian or whatever it's called. He is hilarious though. Anyway, if you took Paige Van Zandt's face, Mackenzie Dern's breasts, Misha Tate's ass and put them all together, Colby will still think he beat Leon. That's a good one.
Okay, good one. Wait one second. I'm going to go back to this one comment here. No. That said,
oh no, someone's in trouble.
It was heavy calf kicks, and yeah, they weren't kicked by Lima though. Okay.
Oh shit.
Lima.
She's posturing. You start.
This is why we have weight classes. So somebody with the same, you know, like yeah, Lima's a big dude, but so is Taffa.
Yeah, exactly.
You know
the thing that was interesting about the Taffa kick is that he tried to pick his foot up to like avoid taking the full force, and it almost looked like that had done more damage because it had kind of kicked his leg as it was folded up in underneath him.
Yeah,
it's like we've got to, you and I are gonna have to really fully properly study this a bit more, because we talk about the Jimmy Crute kick as well, don't we? The one that Jimmy Crute got caught with, and all of a sudden his leg just kind of went weird. It was
like
it just
no
wasn't
choice
wasn't
of it.
Functioning very well.
Yeah.
Mackenzie Dern against Amanda Lemos was a great fight. It was a really, really fun fight to watch. Like Mackenzie Dern desperately needs to improve her striking, but her gameness, her toughness.
Man,
you know what I mean? She was.
Oh, who has the BMF belt? Psst.
Mackenzie Dern.
Mackenzie Dern. All you other guys. Come on, man. But it's the truth.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's what makes me upset. It's
Look at Joanna's head swollen after Zhang Weili. That reminded me of that episode of American Dad where he grows Grogu. You remember when?
Roger,
I watched it last night.
Yeah. No, but honestly, it's the fact that, you know, like their Instagram and the fact that they're pretty, but that's a BMF move right there that is never going to get the props it really deserves.
No.
As like last fight, somebody dropped off a calf and like they were knocked out.
What would the female version of the BMF belt be though? Because you can't call a female belt the BMF. It's got too much of a masculine slant to it, I would think.
Why?
I mean, I guess you could be a female.
What would you be?
I don't know. It just came to mind. I'm not like, this is not planned. Straight away, Steve. No. Like we had to jump straight away off the deep end.
But why can't it be BMF I don't understand.
I'm just throwing it out there. Like, here we go. Live stream. You can all chip in now. You can bad bitch belt. That's a pretty good one.
Didn't Cyborg get all mad because she's like, first of all, I'm not a B word. I am.
Did you see the what's it called? The Cyborg and Clarissa Shields bumping into one another at that expo, and Cyborg going, yeah, no, we'll fight. We'll do 147. I'm like, 147? There's no way Clarissa Shields is getting to 147. Like, Cyborg's like, look, yeah, but no, but you're a good boxer, so I'll come up 2 pounds and meet you. I'm like, that fight's never going to get done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it was kind of, it reminds me of, like, when was it? It was like, I don't know if it was Cyborg and Ronda, but then people started to take photos and be like, oh no, it was a nutritionist that was like, I can tell that Cyborg has this amount of body fat and then she can lose some more weight. I remember thinking that and I just thinking a lot of like just negative things towards the person that has said that, because that was not an intelligent thing to say.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. Okay, so main card. We'll move on to main card, shall we?
That is dishwasher.
You people in the comments are awful. I don't get mad at
like kitchen You're jokes awful. And stuff because I like the kitchen.
Yeah, that's true. You kind of, you know.
Okay, let's start with my boy Fluffy.
He is getting better and better. Yeah. Like I was not expecting that performance out of him.
I knew he could do it.
Yeah, you were confident. I voted Copper Love, didn't I? I think I went Copper Love. He's just, I don't know. I mean,
I know, but the first like three body kicks, I was like, oh, why did I pick Fluffy? Yeah. I knew this guy hit hard. Yeah. Oh, why did I pick him?
And he was it like 20 consecutive takedowns he'd stuffed in the fight, and then he ended up on the floor.
Yeah.
Dealing with.
But I'd seen that in his other fights. It's just, he just keeps going.
Yeah.
And the thing is, as he keeps going, the takedowns get less wild and far away. Mm. It's the beginning that really concerns me about Anthony, because he knows that he has a lot of pace and he beats these guys with pace, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to start pace so crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you could be a bit more calculated with the pace.
Yeah, it was like, a little reckless, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, so I mean, it worked out for him though, didn't it, really? Because he was able to close the distance that would have normally been occupied with those body kicks. He would have probably taken more kicks if he wasn't as aggressive.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying the aggression. I'm just saying, like, towards the later part of the fight, he was just as aggressive, just a bit more intelligent with his footwork and his, like, entries and stuff.
Yeah.
But when he had the rear naked choke, I was like, come on, boy.
That was good as well, especially when he knew it. He was like, here we go.
Oh, yeah, man, really I celebrated like if I won that fight.
the middleweight division's upside down at the minute. Like he could literally be a contender soon, the way that
Well, he's already ranked.
Right. Is he ranked now? Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think he was ranked going into this. It was Kopylov trying to get ranked.
Oh, hang on a minute. That's crazy. I wouldn't even think he was ranked. No offense to him, but okay, here we go. What's the rankings? Middleweight. Oh, yeah, so he was number 15.
Yeah, exactly, so and Kopylov was trying to get his spot.
Hernandez versus Paul Craig would be a good fight.
Yeah.
That'd be a good fight.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, or even Hernandez against Chris Curtis if he can get him to the floor, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think he can, because Chris Curtis...
I just kind of wonder whether he's a little bit undersized if you put him against someone like Dolidze. You know, is he going to start to look like a big middleweight, like a big welterweight?
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right, next fight.
All right. Talk to me.
Merab Dvalishvili versus Henry Cejudo.
Yep.
That was a really good fight. That was sick.
Really awesome fight.
When the first round started, I was just like, you forget with cringe Henry how good Henry is, you know? Or at least for me, like, I know he's this credential. I know he has two belts, but instead of the two belt champion being like, wow, this person has two belts, it's just,
yeah,
I don't know. It's kind of become something else. So the fight started and I'm like, oh yeah.
He did look small though, I will say that. But his technique's really fantastic. But then, you know, even Dvalishvili being able to take him down, you know, elevating his leg and tripping him.
Yeah, that was cool. The way he used his leg, like, around to the back.
Yeah.
But, yeah, when I saw Henry get up from the first round, I was a bit concerned. Obviously, yeah. I wasn't concerned because I picked Dvalishvili, so I was like,
so you
yes.
were happy that you... That you
yeah,
were...
not anything against any fighter. It's just, you know, I just want my picks to be correct. That's it. It's not personal.
Yeah, it was a good fight. Do you think if it had gone 25 minutes, we'd have got a finish?
No, I don't think so because Henry Cejudo, although he was tired, I think he messed up his arm as well. Mm. He is very intelligent to keep himself safe enough to not get finished.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, he Dvalishvili really could have just outworked him and maybe got, I don't know, like a 10-8 round of control in the fifth round. But he wasn't going to, I don't think he was going to finish him.
Yeah, okay.
That fight would have been better for Henry if that was Henry like 4 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. He did look kind of older and slower, but still, I mean, his technique's still fantastic. You know what I mean? I bet he would be a really, really good coach. I bet he will be a really good coach when he kind of finally switches over to like, this is what I'm doing now, you know?
Yeah.
He could be a world-class MMA coach. We need to talk, though, about the post-fight interview. Because Merab said two things.
Yeah.
Drama. You love drama. You love gossip straight away.
Merab said but everybody things. Loves drama.
Well, first of all, he said that he's going to move to Vegas full-time, which means I assume that he's going to be training with John Wood at Syndicate.
Yes.
Which I thought was an interesting move. Second of all, and I wonder whether Aljo knew that this was coming, but he was like, yeah, I know, we're friends, but, you know, send us the contract. Maybe we'll fight. And then Aljo was just over his shoulder.
Dude,
in
the back. Go watch it. Go watch it.
Yeah, it was really awkward, wasn't it? And that seemed far less planned than Cejudo firing his coach on the camera.
Yeah, no, so. that was, he was like, yeah, you know, he's my brother and stuff like that. Well, I did tell you, right, in the lead up to the fight, I saw something about Aljo saying, oh, everybody would be interested in the rematch between O'Malley and myself.
Yeah.
And that made me extremely angry. Because
more angry than O'Malley's costume. Outfit.
Yeah, I mean, O'Malley's O'Malley, whatever. He's fabulous. Yeah. He's got to let him be fabulous.
It looked like he was wearing a polar bear.
But yeah. Exactly, yeah. Boss, whatever your name is. Aljo is featherweight now, though.
Boss, whatever your name is.
Well, I can't pronounce that.
Skags. don't ever expect Veronica to get the names right in the chat. I mean,
exactly. Yeah. So featherweight, right? This is what I thought. Cool. Now Merab can fight for the belt. Wow, respect, homie. I mean, Merab, top level respect, dude. But then Aljo saying everybody knows the rematch between O'Malley. It's not going to be in featherweight. It's going to be in bantamweight.
Mm.
So he's calling for that out. And his homie over here on like a 37 fight win streak being like, oh, no, I don't fight you. My friend, unleash that dude on you.
Yeah. The machine. dives into frozen lakes face first.
I just want to see their next training together. That's what I want. But somebody then, can video that.
Maybe that's partly his move to Vegas, is that it then moves him out of the camp with where Aljo is. So it makes sense that they could then potentially.
Yeah.
Johnny Dunn. Sean Winter is coming, O'Malley. Winter is coming would, yeah. Yeah. It was a little bit less Game of Thrones and a little bit more. He looked like he'd skinned the monster off Hoth. What's it called? What's that called, Jamie? You're a Star Wars guy.
You know what? I don't know.
Oh, come on! Sorry. Someone in the comments, quick! Save me googling it. The thing that the thing that catches Luke Skywalker. Skywalker. Luke Skywalker when he's out and gets caught in the snowstorm.
Look,
someone knows. You got your Star Wars. Rather, you got my Star Wars. No, I've got it in Lego as well somewhere. I can't think where it is.
Oh, well. Wampas.
A what? Oh, Wampa. Yes, a Wampa. Yes. Wampa. What? You're just giggling.
No, I just saw like what it looked like. And I remember, what fight was it that I had to stop so I could show you O'Malley walking by?
Oh, I don't remember. He passes by in the background, like like a sheep jumping over a fence.
I was like, what's that?
That was the very moment I fell asleep. It was the final sheep jumping over the fence. I was like, oh, yeah. It was a Wampa. There we go. We got a few people. Flying Frog of Death. What's a Tauntaun? Is that something else in Star Wars? I feel like it would probably be.
I'm scared to Google it, but I'm gonna do it. Oh,
Yoda. Sean O'Malley did not look like Yoda.
Okay, next fight.
Zaki Hazaki. What's up, y'all? Okay, next fight. Oh, yeah, no, I kind of started to blank a little bit at this one. This was unfortunately the only fight on the main card that was like.
Wait, one second. Before we go, Jason GT has a good question. Dana said, post-fight, Cejudo doesn't deserve the mic to make a retirement speech. He said that was Merab's moment, not Henry's. Why does the UFC make time for people like Robbie Lawler, but not him? Because Henry has already retired, and Henry faked firing his coach, and Henry has done a lot of things for attention that aren't genuine to take away the spotlight. So for one, somebody said, actually, sit down.
Yeah. Yeah. Wasn't a bad thing.
You know, like,
he's probably not.
I'm sick and tired of Marab not getting his moment. Like, the dude has good little clips on Instagram, on his little TikTok. He hands out with that Nina girl as well, you know. He's like, if it worked for Sean Strickland, it could work for me. Like, he's doing every single thing that anybody asks of him and still somehow steals the show. And he's going to come in and be like, oh, yeah, but I'm Triple C and stuff. Nah, man. Nah.
Yeah.
Be respectful. You be respectful. I'm not saying that to you. I'm saying that to like, for the moment. I get amped up to these.
I can see that, and now everybody else can as well. Okay. So, Ian Machado Gary against Jeff Neal. This was just kind of, I mean, you know.
This was the fight that we expected, and is exactly what we got. It was Ian Machado or Ian Gary, whichever one, versus Neil Magny.
Yeah.
Like, he just did the same thing because he could not lose.
Yeah.
That was it. He was going to do everything not to lose. He wasn't going to get angry and know that if you charged in forward, Jeff Neal was going to, like, murk him, because that's what he has. But much like Chris Curtis, if he doesn't hit you and you're not there to be hit, he just gets angry.
Yeah. Starts getting frustrated.
It's like, oh, man, come here.
Yeah.
And it's like, what do you expect?
Like, calling people back into the center. That happened in a few of the fights. Like, Costa did, didn't he? Like, calling back into the center.
Yeah,
like,
but Costa was like, that was a fight. And then it was, you know, bloody and stuff. And it come into the center. But it wasn't a fight, let's finish it, swinging. It was, come here so I can hit you and land my knockout, please.
Yeah, for sure. But then I would also argue that Costa Whitaker was far more like, let's kind of take risks and throw down. Like, Jeff Neal knew for sure that Ian Gary wasn't going to go, oh, yeah, okay, let's stand in the pocket and trade. Like, he's going to play that poke and tag game all the way through, you know what I mean? And like, I just don't know why fighters don't come in with more of a plan of how to deal with that. Of course it's going to be a challenge, but if you know you're up against it, what you don't want to keep doing is lunging and swinging and missing and giving them the open angle. Like, it was just a silly game plan from Jeff Neal, you know? Like, if they made the octagon 3 feet across, it would be an absolute nightmare. But unfortunately, there's a lot of space in there, and he wasn't able to stop Ian Gary utilizing it. Like, it was beautiful, sharp shooting from Ian Gary. I feel kind of sad for the guy, because it's almost like he's being forced into this, like, villain role. Like, he could barely get his post-fight interview done without them booing. And he's saying, I don't care, I'm going to be a champion regardless. But he does care. He's a young guy that got into MMA because he loved Conor McGregor. And you said it, like, Conor McGregor was still likable no matter what he said. There's just something about him.
People just, you know.
He was cheeky, wasn't he? Whereas Ian Gary, he's not coming across as particularly cheeky. And then he performs like that and people are like, God. Like, if he was starching people, you know what I mean? And we know he can do it. Like, he did it against Rostam Ackman on Cage Warriors. We know he's got the potential to take people out, but split decisions against guys when you... And, like, the constant, like, bumping of fists and stuff.
Oh,
like,
I hate that. I hate that in training. That so I hate that in, like, inspiring. Like, the amount of seconds people waste in a jiu-jitsu thing where they do this. And it's not just one. It's like... Do you hear? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's stop.
Yeah. It's like what Joby said at sparring on Saturday, though, wasn't it? It was like, how long did you actually spar for? You know what I mean? Like did you spar for 5 5-minute rounds, or did you spar for 90 seconds and spend the rest of the time kind of dancing around and showboating?
Yeah.
You know? Like, I can't take anything away from Ian Gary, because he's going to be able to play that game against a lot of people. And if they've got, like, a stubborn, hard-headed style like Jeff Neal has... You know what I mean? It's just, you're just going to get the same kind of fight over and over again.
I have a quick question. So during, for the people in the chat.
Okay.
When we were watching the fight, the sound was really weird in that fight. It kept cutting off. Were you guys experiencing the same technical difficulty? Did you have that?
Someone said there was sound meddling. I don't know if they're referring to that.
Yeah, like, the comms cut out a few times. It wasn't, we didn't was even it in hear, the Gary fight?
Yeah, because remember, we didn't even hear the bell at the end.
Yes.
You know, okay. And it happened like maybe 4 times that the sound cut off. But I don't know if it's like everybody had that thing.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, boss. I understand what happened now.
Oh, is that what it was? Oh, never.
Oh, that's horrible.
Is that right?
Oh.
Brilliant. Yeah, okay.
Oh, so, you guys are so ruthless.
So it sounds to me
so
like...
so bad.
It sounds to me like everybody watching on TNT has no idea what was happening, and then people who were watching on ESPN got the full audio stream. Okay.
Well, I thought before the fight if they were going to say that.
Brilliant. Okay.
Oh, my goodness. I'm glad I asked it now. I'm in detail with the drama.
Now you know.
Oh, that's cold. Y'all cold.
Yeah.
Ain't no punch hurt as much as y'all. Yeah.
That's pretty rough, that one.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, not a... I wouldn't mind seeing him fight Colby Covington, but he's calling someone out on a mad losing streak that just looks old.
Exactly.
Like it's kind of... it's not easy pickings because it's Covington. I would like to see the fight, but it would have been a bigger move for him to call out someone like Shavkat, you know, someone that's...
Yeah.
In a similar situation. Someone that's got hyper momentum.
Mm.
Yeah.
I was chanting it from my bed. As long as you were having fun.
Yeah. Okay. Co-main event.
Co-main event.
Whitaker Costa. What a fight that was. Now, I picked Costa for this one. And I thought that he might actually start to turn the tide after he landed that spinning hook kick at the
end
of the...
That was crazy.
It was a good fight.
Man, Whitaker, I felt like he was winning the round. I was, you know, I was into it. I was like, all right, stay focused. Last 10 seconds. Bam, he gets caught with this. And we've seen a lot of spinning attacks. Like, Marab threw like 37 of them. And, you know, didn't land. The one that Costa throws, lands, puts this big thing. And if it wasn't for the time, would have finished Whitaker. After Whitaker had a great first round, I was just like, oh, the MMA gods are against me here.
Hang on, we've had a good question from Brendan going back to Ian Garry.
Okay.
What do you think Ian Garry can do to win back the fans? I don't know. Finish a couple of fights would be a big start. I think people get... They get very, very easily distracted with big knockouts, you know?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe apologize.
Apologize?
Yeah.
For absolutely nothing. That's Conor McGregor. It doesn't matter.
Oh.
Why would he apologize? Who to?
Nothing. I don't want to get into it. But that wouldn't be a bad start. Because if all these people are throwing... Okay, if a lot of people are throwing hate at you, you have to view it like, okay, some of them or whatever, all you have to say about those people. But there has to be something that made these people hate you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There must be something. You're not like completely innocent. They didn't hate you out of the blue.
No.
I
just wonder whether it's kind of he's taking a lot of it and it's kind of almost misdirected. You know, because I think he's more the... Anyway, we're not making the whole live stream about this.
All right. Yeah, no, forget it. Honestly, this fight was, in comparison to the other ones, not really worth being talking too much about.
We'll leave these videos to Red Pill because he does a great job. Give him a shout out. I do enjoy his videos. And he's got a lovely accent. It's so peaceful to listen to him, even no matter what he's talking about. I'm just like, this is very peaceful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Magny, cough, exactly. To start. All right. Robert Whittaker, Paulo Costa. I'm going to tell you, all right. First, Paulo Costa came in. He was all confident. He was doing this hair thing with like the 3 pieces of hair he had about like 800 times.
Yeah.
And then when they went to the back of the shot of the fight, I was like, oh, that's not a good look.
Yeah, it was.
And then as the fight went on, it just kept getting worse.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I must admit though, like Costa up to the Adesanya fight, I was like I think this guy, people are like massively overrating him, but now he's kind of like settled into his place in the division, right? He wasn't good enough for Adesanya, and he's proven to be not quite good enough for for Whittaker as well.
Yeah.
But he's a really interesting character in the division, you know? Like, turkey hair and everything. I don't care. He comes in good shape and he comes to fight. And he can take a punch as well.
He can.
Like, Whittaker cracked him with a few times. And what does he do almost every time? Sticks his tongue out. Like, you know what I mean? He's just having yeah, a good
it was,
time with
it. It was a good fight. And the fight versus Rockhold was a good fight. And I don't know. I feel like he kind of always has these really good fights.
Yeah.
And maybe some of his, like, I don't know, like, Instagram personality and stuff kind of takes away from the fact that, man, he always shows up to fight.
Yeah. Harrison Rapita says that he should go up to 205, but I think he looks, I thought he looked kind of slow and soft against Marvin Vettori. Could you imagine him against Alex Pereira? Pereira put him away, I think.
Yeah, but I feel like Pereira puts a lot of people away, so.
Costa is a dog, apparently, according to Sir Alex Ferguson. I will approve that.
Were you surprised by the 30-27? What? That someone is a dog?
Yeah. Like, Din Thomas said it about Mackenzie Dern as well, and, like, depending on the context.
Spelling as well.
Huh?
D-A-W-G.
Yeah.
It's like, you a dog.
Yeah, but it's
like Brandon Roybal, he's a dog.
it's just a weird compliment. Which it's weird that it's taken as a compliment, because if you called somebody a dog in any other context, they'd be like, what did you say about me? You
yeah. know what I mean?
Like, especially if you say it about a woman. You know?
Yeah.
It's like someone's gonna walk over and slap Din Thomas after this for calling Mackenzie Dern a dog. Like, no, I mean, it's a compliment, honestly.
Okay. There was a question here that I was gonna. Oh yeah, were you surprised by the 30-27 from one of the judges?
I don't know. I mean, I guess, like, I scored the first round for Costa. I thought it was a good round for Whittaker until he took that big shot, and that for me just eclipsed everything else in the round.
Yeah.
So for me, I gave Costa the first round, but then I did feel like Whittaker kind of picked him apart for the second and third. So I would have given it a 29-28 Whittaker. But I'm not surprised. Yeah, I'm not surprised, because, like, it was the only really major consequential shot in the first round, in my opinion, and that's why it swayed to Costa. But I'm not too mad about the fact that. Because you could argue that Whittaker won, you know, 3.5 minutes of a 5-minute round.
Yeah.
You know?
I wonder why he's not throwing that head kick anymore.
Who, Whittaker?
Yeah.
I think it was partly because of his leg was damaged.
But he's just recently not throwing that many kicks.
Yeah.
In comparison to before.
Maybe. It was always a strange way that he threw it. It was like he always kept his hips quite square to his opponent. I wonder if there was a... if he was concerned about getting knocked off balance.
I see. For Dan and V, for judges scoring, should visible damage taken be counted more versus significant strikes? Costa showing almost no damage versus Whittaker, as an example. Well, some people, like, if you're really pale and you get any sort of shot, like, imagine how many significant strikes Whittaker already has with his chest before the fight starts.
It's a weird one, because, like, of course damage is an important thing to score, but at the same time some people get more damage than others just purely based on their skin type, it seems. You know, but then there are other people that have taken so much damage in their career that they're gonna get cut easier. Like, Nate Diaz always cuts. You know, you don't even have to hit him particularly hard and he cuts, but that's old scar tissue. And I know you can have some things done to fix it, but, like, ultimately, damage shows effective striking. It's just sometimes you don't have to be as effective if the person's already got a lot of damage on them. Like Darren Elkins, if you walk past him in a corridor and sneezed, his nose and one of his eyes would burst open. You know what I mean? He's like, his skin's being held together by what looks like spiderwebs and parchment paper.
Yeah, you know, and to some people, even without that predetermined damage, like, just bruise super easily. Like, I know, like, some people, you touch them and they get a massive bruise.
Like, I don't cut. I've been really, really lucky. I've never cut. I've had one cut in my whole career, and that was against Gono, And that, I remember feeling it happen. It was the seam on the inside of his glove. Mm. And you can see it in the fight. He kind of stuck and slapped me.
Mm.
And it just cut me. But like, that's the only time I've ever been cut. And I've been hit with some good elbows. I just tended to swell up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and then you look at the Ngannou Fury fight. Fury caught Ngannou with a clean elbow on the forehead. Didn't open him up. And then Fury's just taken a shot in sparring, and that's opened his cut up from the Usyk fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like damage was already there.
It happens. I've been cut with like silly shots that I didn't even realize that I was cut with.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that one that you got on your cheek was just like a little scuff of the glove, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was just like a little scratch. But
I thought the blood was coming from the other side.
Yeah, it's weird.
So, yeah. Another thing that I thought, that sometimes the way that Whittaker was squaring Costa up with his attacks, because he knew that that Costa was going to hook him. So he was coming over the top and he was going this way to kind of put him on his heels. And although that took some of the blow because he was kind of going back, do you think that might have been why more damage wasn't shown on the face of Costa?
Because we talked about this a bit, didn't we? Because it's like sometimes when Costa was getting hit, it looked more dramatic because he was kind of losing his shape and like his head was going back. But then he's also not taking the full force of those shots, whereas Whittaker, who's leaning heavy on his lead foot, was more there to be eating those jabs from Costa, which is why I feel like he had more damage on his face. Like I think, like, you know, you watch when you watch Robbie Lawler fight, there's so many times when you're watching the fight and you're like, oh, that was a good shot for his opponent. Then you watch it back in slow motion and he's like rolling it off his shoulders and off the sides of his head. And you're like, oh, he's actually not taking these shots hardly at all.
Yeah.
You know, same thing with Chavez we were watching the other day. He's on the inside. And even when the shots are coming, you can see him just kind of turning into him. So he's not eating the full force of the punch. Timothy, Dan's shirt, yes. Yes, Countdown to Extinction. Or rather not on this one. This one was live at Budokan. What else? We haven't talked about the main event yet, have we?
The main event of the evening. Oh, should I tell him what I say what Bruce says? But not really. He should be like...
What you want him to announce you as?
The most diabolical villain in the world! Yeah, that would be super cool.
Diabolical villain in the world. I would imagine that Bruce would... especially if you like officially changed your nickname to that.
Yeah.
Veronica, the most diabolical villain in the world, Hardy. Then he's definitely going to say it, isn't he?
I guess. I mean, it's better than a lot of nicknames that I've heard. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Main event.
Well,
first of all, I mean, I think we said it right at the start of the stream. As soon as we started watching it, we were both like, oh, no, this is not good. I thought Volk was going to look sharp and focused and just, I don't know, I was expecting a really like finely tuned version of Volk, and I don't know whether he leant too far into the fun and games of Fight Week, you know, like being the old man at the press conference, which
those
was brilliant.
Fans.
The fans dressed up as
old
men.
The guys are dressed up as the old dudes.
You should get a fight night bonus for those costumes.
You, like, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Fan bonus.
That they should certainly bring that in. But then when he was walking out, I said it to you, didn't I? Because we didn't watch it live, but we made sure that we'd not got the results in front of us. We didn't know. And as he was walking out, like I said to you, didn't I? He looks a bit too comfortable here. But yeah. I hope that's not a bad sign. And he was just doing weird things, like especially against Topuria, who you know has got a rocket of a right hand, and like he was like going with that inside low kick and then drifting away square. It's like the cross was there the whole time.
Oh, it made me anxious.
The whole thing was nervous.
Yeah, I was watching it and I was just like, okay, go for the takedown.
Yeah.
Strong man power, come on. But yeah.
Topuria looked really good. And the little adjustment that he made, you know, like, so there's a replay of the knockout from behind Topuria. It's beautiful what he does, because he obviously throws a couple of times and doesn't land anything consequential. And as Volk moves along the fence, Topuria just shadows him. and throws that right. Beautiful. Really impressive. Do you think we're getting an immediate rematch? Let's have a look at the rankings.
Personally, I don't want to see one. I know Volk has ran the, and I picked him to win, and I am a massive Volk fan. He's just coming off two knockouts, not like, three punches, the decision, or like knockouts by powerful dudes in a very short amount of time. And I understand that he wanted to you know, take the fight, and that's where he feels his best self. And I understand the feeling of wanting to be in a training camp and all of this. But, man, the way he felt versus the Ilya fight, that was not okay.
Rogan said he's out. He's still out. He's out. Okay, so then that brings on to the next conversation then. So Topuria, as the champion, has got, I would say, two clear options. He's either got Max Holloway after he's fought for the BMF belt.
Yeah.
But that's at 155, isn't it? So he'd have to come back down to featherweight.
Yeah, but still, like, yeah, no, I mean, it makes it, you but... win the... And then, you know, they can promo that.
So if,
like,
Max Holloway beats Gaethje and wins the BMF belt, does he bring the BMF belt down to do a unification with the featherweight champ?
No, because they never do that, right? Because when Masvidal had it...
But they're making shit up at this point. You know what I mean?
Okay, but
they're going to have power slap between rounds soon. You watch.
According to the making shit up of the last time... So you
get a chalky fucking hand print across the
Okay, no, I don't think that is on the line.
No? Okay. No,
but so I think that would be a good selling point.
Okay, so then the other option would be the winner of the Rodriguez... Ortega fight. Oh, I've got cramp in my hamstring.
I'm gonna be really honest.
It's always important to be honest.
Ortega and Yair, I love their styles. I think they are wicked fighters.
Yep.
I wish I was as cool as them. Like,
wicked cool.
Super cool. I don't want to see either of them fight Ilya next.
Okay. What about Movsaev Luev? That would be a hell of a fight.
That exactly, like, you see how you got excited, because it's not like they've been in the tops of the rankings, but not active.
Yeah, but you
and
also
Ilya
gotta...
came in and he was just like, win, KO, whatever. And yes, Moisaev may not have a knockout win or whatever, and it's just decisions. But at least he's active in the division to get the wins, and we're not overshadowing their social media and their following based on how much they deserve to get a title shot.
For sure. So that would be, that would be what, 18-0? Is he 18-0 still? 18-0 against 15-0.
Yeah, that's the fight to make. You don't make the two guys that lost to the guy that you just knocked out.
Yeah, but it'd be easier to sell a fight with Yair or Ortega.
I understand.
Because the thing is,
what I don't like about what's going on.
I'm not disagreeing with
because you. Because then you have champions fighting people that are popular to sell these pay-per-views, and not the right dangerous contenders that are like the 13, 11 rank that don't get the shot because they just don't have the following yet to make a nice pay-per-view. Luckily for Ilya, he had more following than Volkanovski.
Oh, did he really? Yeah.
Yeah, before the fight. So, of course, it made sense.
Mm. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm thinking from a UFC perspective, and they're like, right, okay, we've got an undefeated Spanish Georgian fighter who's just knocked out Volkanovski. If we give him a Holloway, Ortega, Yair, and he beats one of those, then he's a legitimate, everyone knows his name, star. If he beats Movsaev Luev, which is potentially a very, very tough fight, then they've got two undefeated fighters. They're putting a loss on someone's record, and they're not getting their money on the return of the investment, especially if they end up with Movsaev Luev as a champion, because he's not nearly as marketable as Topuria. So it would be easier. Say, for example, Yair Rodriguez and Ortega have a battle, but Yair Rodriguez ends up getting a TKO finish. Rodriguez against Topuria is a massive fight
in Spain. Absolutely.
So that's what you've got. I'm not trying to say what's the right thing to happen. I'm saying what is most likely going to happen.
Yeah, but I said, I'm going to be really honest on my opinion. So I'm not saying that that's not what's going to happen. I just think it's a bit unfair to have some of these fighters that are active and that are, you know, showing up and taking these tough fights and constantly getting wins. Because then you get to the point where, like, for example, Habib took so long to get to the belt. Right. And then people are like, oh, yeah. But then when you got it, you didn't fight. I've already fought him.
But then Ivlev is 18-0 and he's ranked number 5. But he's going to need a win over Ortega, Rodriguez, Holloway, Volkanovski to put him in a position where I think the UFC would value him as a contender for the title. I'm just...
Yeah.
Because it's just the way that the kind of the machine works. Like right now, Topuria is a superstar, but he still needs that marquee name on his record alongside Volkanovski, in my opinion. And I think that they'll do that before Ivlev. And I think they'll try and put the same name on Ivlev's record as well, or the same level of name, if that makes sense, in order for the Ivlev Topuria fight to be as profitable as it should be.
Yeah, but like Ivlev has a big following as well. Yeah. It's just not the standard market. I don't know. I feel like for martial arts, I feel that's kind of the fight that I would like to see, just because it feels like they're both in their prime position. There was a point where Yair was striving to be champion and Ortega was striving to be champion. I just don't think that point is there any right now.
See, you've got to be a machine head fan with a name like that. Realize. Ivlev hasn't beaten a top 5 fighter. If he does that, I'm in.
Yeah, but they said the same thing about Makhachev, and they say the same thing about Habib. Like, if you keep giving the same guys match and a rematch, like Yair Ortega is a rematch, and you keep putting the same cycle of 5 people.
Squeeze that lemon till there's nothing left.
That's what is annoying. Yeah, but stop squeezing lemons, because there's enough money to market more fighters.
Mm. Okay, we got any more questions before we wrap this up?
A lot of people are saying about O'Malley
Topuria. O'Malley Topuria would be a fun one. I feel like Topuria would put him away, though. Power-based, you know, smash his leg, knock him out with an overhand right, or strangle him. I feel like he'd just be too much right now for O'Malley.
Oh, what about the 300 being announced?
Yes.
Poatan.
Good Jama. Fight. Good fight. I think that... Well, it should be a good fight, but I think that Poatan's probably going to come out on top of that one. Is my first take on it.
He's been doing like a world tour right now.
Yeah.
I remember, because he went to Aries to do some like questions and stuff, and he's just like stone-faced the whole time.
Yeah.
And then one of the guys came up to me, and he's like, Veronica, can you speak to him to see if everything's okay? Because he hasn't smiled. And I'm like, nah, man, he's just like that. He's totally fine. He's super chill right now. But yeah,
Johnny Dunn calling for you to fight to Maverick. But we'll have an announcement for you soon. Actually, all good news.
Yes.
TikTok.
Nothing I may right now, tell but... you soon when I'm gonna fight. I may tell you later.
Oh, I see. Yeah, very good.
Honestly, I've been thinking about that for like 3 days. It's so pathetic. I had to come clean.
Right, let's wrap it there. Thank you very much for joining us on this Sunday evening. Hope you have an awesome week. Monday tomorrow, go and own it, smash it, take no shit, suffer no fools. You know the score. My love, thank you for joining us for this one.
And thank you guys. You're all awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next time.
And like.
I thought you were going to finish that sentence. Like and subscribe. Thanks, guys. We'll see you again very soon.